Everyone, welcome to another episode of the Alchemist Lounge. As always, I'm your host, Alex Atwood, and today we have the privilege of sitting down with Kyle Gray. Kyle is a wizard of words. He is a sage of storytelling. So I met Kyle through a mutual friend, and he's worked with me as my personal storytelling coach. And before meeting Kyle, I didn't know there was such thing as a story strategist, but that's exactly what Kyle does. He's a presentation coach, he's an author, and he's found a way to blend the art of storytelling with science. Today, we'll explore all of the alchemy and storytelling and how Kyle's unique approach has empowered people from all sorts of different walks of life and careers and taught them how to connect, inspire, and succeed. So welcome to the lounge, Kyle.
Alex, it is an honor to be here. Thank you so much for sharing my story with your audience and for that incredible introduction.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. And before we got started, you were telling me a little bit about some of the different walks of life, some of the people that you work with are in. You mentioned you work with anything from an accountant to people in on the cutting edge of wellness, specifically psychedelic therapy, something I know quite a bit about. So tell me a little bit about how you thread the stories of all of these different people and all these different walks of life. How does your unique thread allow them to be able to connect with others?
That's a wonderful question. And while on the surface, these different professions from taxes to health and wellness to psychedelics to sales and marketing all seem very different, the big thing that they have in common is the fact that they are very intelligent and they are very experienced in the work that they do. And this is, of course, why we want to work with them and why we trust them. And there are certain problems and disadvantages that come from being experienced and talented. One of which is the fact that we grow this deep forest of experience as we cultivate our talents. And over time, it becomes difficult to see the trees for the forest anymore. And it becomes difficult to communicate to somebody who's not been as steeped in our world and our expertise and our language exactly what we do or know exactly what they need to hear right now in order to make a decision. And so many leaders end up sabotaging themselves in both small and large ways through communicating too much information or the wrong information. And even times this may feel good when you are sharing it, and it may even feel good for the listener at the time. But because they're lacking in an understanding of what story to tell, why to tell it, or why they are communicating in this way, they end up getting less results than they hoped for. And this is really important in sales and marketing. And this can be equally applied and potent when it comes to leadership, with your teams in hiring people. And it can be equally important in sharing who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing this with your family. And this was one of the most important discussions that I really enjoy having with you, is your story can create alignment in all of these areas if you can communicate it well, and if you start to understand the key frameworks that underlie these stories and the purposes behind them, so that you can start to point out the specific trees inside your forest of experience that will get you the results that you want.
I love that. the trees inside your forest of experience. That's such an incredible way to describe that. And as I'm thinking about storytelling, I'm thinking about connection. I'm thinking about human connection. And in this day and age, with such a concentration on not just sort of the evolution of business and the evolution of leadership, leaders now looking to kind of dismantle hierarchical types of leadership and really inject empathy in how they communicate, this takes it a step further. This has leaders actually looking at their lives and actually putting a method around how they can extrapolate things that could actually allow them not just to connect with others, but potentially to bring more sales into their business, right? So a lot of this is also sort of based in marketing science and in sales science as well. And so it's fascinating. And so I'm so excited to dive deeper into each one of these. But I want to understand how you became a story strategist, because it was probably a few months into you and I working together when I realized you're actually a musician. You're actually a singer-songwriter. And you still have really a strong connection to music. How did you evolve from singer-songwriter, musician to now crafting this like storytelling narrative? And share some parallels with me there.
Absolutely. There are several threads that make up this story. And the first of them is my singer-songwriter thread. In my late teens, early 20s, I was certain that the only way I was going to live a happy and fulfilled life was as a singer-songwriter musician. And there came a point where I started putting a lot of pressure on myself to perform. I had to write a great song right now or be damned, and ended up burning myself out on the craft. And from there, I entered a lot of confusion. I can remember going through college and being incredibly frustrated at myself, seeing people on my right who were pre-law and they knew what they were doing, and people on my left that were pre-med and knew what they were doing. And I had no idea what I wanted to do other than I wanted to travel. And I started finding ways in my early 20s to travel to South America. Started studying Spanish and getting pretty good at Spanish and working for nonprofits down in Peru or doing exchanges in Argentina. I even picked up Portuguese and worked for an airline in Brazil. And over the course of thousands of embarrassing mistakes, started to learn how to communicate in other languages, which also helped me in communicating and expressing myself in English. Also, while in Peru, I had an incredible transformative experience. Can you guess what it is? No, it's not ayahuasca. It was Giardia. Yes, Giardia.
What is that?
The parasite. I did a swim in an Amazonian lake and got incredibly sick. Incredibly sick. The sickest I've ever been. And got to the point where I had to beg my roommate to take me to the hospital. And they injected me with a huge dose of some kind of antibiotics. And that began a changing, transformative experience in my life. A few years down the line, I started having joint pain in my jaw, in my knees, in my wrists. It was like the Hydra. Anytime I could solve one problem and cut off the head of one problem, three more came up in its place. And I was considering taking my own life because I had no idea how I was going to get out of this and thought I was broken forever. No matter how many Tony Robbins books I read at the time, I could not fix my mindset. And while all of this was happening, I was progressing in my career as a content marketer, as a storyteller, as a writer. I had written for a startup and helped share the story of that startup and how it grew from a small team to a worldwide global team of web developers, and was figuring out how to create great content for business owners and business leaders who would be good fits for us. A few years into that, I learned about how to speak from the stage and use that as a method to grow your business. And I was immediately reminded of my experiences as a singer-songwriter and storyteller, and really wanted to learn how to do this. And so I went to this leader who was sharing this information on how to speak from the stage and said, I want to write for you. I want to help you with your processes and with your marketing. And in exchange, I want to learn how to speak and share my story in this way. Hmm. And so I started writing for this company that started to grow very quickly. And all of a sudden they were hosting workshops that were $10,000 plus for people to come for 2 days to position yourself as a speaker or to write a speech in a very short amount of time. And so I had groups of several dozen people that I had to work with over the course of 2 days and listen very carefully to them and ask just the right questions so that in a few minutes, I could help them get new insights and get results on how they presented themselves as an authority or how they shared their story that would create this value, and learned a tremendous amount in the process. One of these days, coincidentally, happened to be filled with health and wellness experts. And I remember sitting next to one of them, and she said, hey, my name's Dr. Grace, and I help people overcome chronic autoimmune diseases through better gut health. And by this time I had discovered, and my condition had cascaded into an autoimmune condition known as Hashimoto's disease, which is a thyroid autoimmune condition. And I think that we can get into some metaphysical stuff, but I think it's no coincidence that I suffer from or had suffered from a thyroid condition. But this was incredible. I knew exactly what her ideal clients were going through. And I said, well, your people must want this. They try and do this, but that happens. She said, oh my goodness, you need to come work with me. And so over the course of a few months, I helped her write a keynote speech, ghostwrite a book, and transform how she communicated in order to bring in more clients. And her business started taking off. She started walking me through a gut health and Hashimoto's protocol, and a lot of the problems that had once plagued my life and brought me to within an edge of it had melted away. And I realized that I had a unique story for this audience, and I could benefit tremendously from this group of people. And all of a sudden, this curse in my life had become a blessing. And it defined who I was and who I wanted to work for and serve. And through working with this health expert and many others, I also started to immerse myself in the world of how stories influence our own minds and how to transform and work with that. And learned how to do this through journaling, started discovering how to do it through breath work. And even eventually, through working with people at the most cutting edge of this, found leaders in psychedelics who were also helping rewrite the stories that we told ourselves to ourselves about ourselves. And more and more, as I was helping people, some of the most intelligent leaders I knew who were very inspiring to me, when they were confronted with the prospect of upgrading their visibility, upgrading their message, sharing who they were in a novel and effective way, I found that they had their own stories and their own roadblocks preventing them from truly engaging or embodying this. And so, along with helping people write great speeches from the stage, I was helping them write out the stories and the thoughts that had held them back, and playing interesting word games with them to break the patterns that had been holding them back from doing their very best work. And so that is the several threads that have led up to who I am and what I'm doing today.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for so much serendipity, so much alchemy in what you just described. So not only at that retreat, it was a retreat, right? Where it was, or the presentation that you helped work on for the other people with the gut disease. That was a retreat?
I would call it a workshop, but it depends on,
yeah.
That was more of a workshop. We were doing a lot of work. It was at a nice hotel. Some people could argue it was a retreat, but I see retreats as a little bit more personal working and a little less professional.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, as I'm listening to the story, it was very personal. And at the same time, you were serving in a very professional capacity, providing an incredible amount of value. And I know from personal experience, specifically with leaders, you know, call them, you know, technician leaders, who are, as you, you know, so eloquently put it earlier, are masters of a particular domain. But when it comes to being able to connect to others outside of that domain, there comes a blockage. And I'm really curious about public speaking, because listening to your story and what you're bringing forth sounds like sort of an amalgamation of leadership in sort of a corporate sense, wanting to build, you know, whether it's additional abundance for their companies in the form of new sales, whether it's empowerment within themselves to be able to connect and really tell their story, which in turn has a very profound effect on them personally, providing them sort of an elevated sense of themselves through your work. And I'll tell you personally, for me, most recently, I think when we did your podcast, you mentioned in a very constructive and reflective way certain inflections that I had. I actually wrote a small blog about it. It was like, whatever it was that I said. And just being aware of that had a very profound effect on me personally. So to hear your story is just really incredible in how serendipitous it really was. Kind of diving into the alternative medicine space, because it sounds like that's where you got started. I happen to know, being in that space, there's a lot of hesitation around sales, right? Because you're working on such a personal level with your clients a lot of the time. And I found that practitioners in that space typically don't know necessarily the fundamentals of marketing. A lot of the time that they come from a therapeutic background, a clinical background, maybe education. And so now suddenly they have to build a business. They have to be able to put fundamental marketing in there. So tell me a little bit about, you know, when you got in to specifically building stories for alternative medicine types. How did you find the sort of the ways forward between these blockages, right? And more specifically, how does telling a story help someone out of that condition, right? Being scared to, you know, maybe not scared, but being uncomfortable selling, right? How does telling a story sort of move them beyond that?
Absolutely. That is a wonderful question and wonderful reflections leading up to it. One of the biggest problems when it comes to somebody who feels hesitation in the sense of sales is that they perhaps have been traumatized in the past by somebody who's oversold or sold too much. And they feel that they want to err on the other side of the spectrum as much as possible. And a lot of the times that looks like teaching as much information as possible, showing their expertise by teaching as much as possible, because if they know how smart I am, then they'll want to work with me. And if I can give a lot of value in that way. But what's happening underneath is that they aren't entirely confident in themselves in this way. And they are overly focused on what other people are going to think of them, which is a certain insecurity and imposter syndrome. And one of the biggest perspective shifts that these people can benefit from when it comes to sales is that sales is one of the most sacred and intimate processes that you can take anybody through, especially if you are an expert in the healing or transformative arts. And if you have gone through a process to become a person that is endowed with these gifts, then it is not just your opportunity, but it is your divine responsibility to sell. You must sell, because now more than ever, there are people who need your help and who need to hear your story. And if you are sitting there thinking, oh, what are people going to think of me if I sell? Then there are people like me who are suffering tremendous amounts, and we haven't heard of you, and we won't hear from you if you are getting in your own way like this. And there's a magic that happens when we can finally articulate your story in a way that you're proud of, that you're excited to share. It changes how you show up, even if we don't change the words that you're saying. I will tell a story of a client I worked with briefly on exactly how this magic happens. A health and wellness expert, and we'll call her Diane for the sake of this story, was on a story crafting call with me. And she gets on the call, and immediately she's like, Kyle, I'm stressed out right now. And I said, Diane, what's wrong? She's like, well, I work with women and they have hormone problems and I fix them. And I was like, that doesn't sound like a problem. And she's like, no, but I want to work with parents and children with ADHD. And I'm worried if I can work with them and work with my other clients, and I'm having trouble with focus, you know, because I just realized that I have ADHD and I have been looking back at decades of dopamine driven decisions that have led my life every which way. And if I just keep thinking to myself, if my parents had only known, they could have done something. This is not a great attitude to be creative in storytelling. And there are some limiting beliefs present, very similar to what you hinted at here. And so I said, Diane, do you want to play a game? She said, yes. I'm amazed that people want to play these games, or that they're willing to just do it. But when you feel like that, you're willing to try almost anything to change those feelings. So I said, write down what you just said. If my parents had only known, they could have done something. I want you to read it out loud and breathe, read it out loud and breathe, read it out loud and breathe. And she does it. And I say, how does that feel? Not very good. Perfect. We're on the right track. We're going to change one word, or maybe a couple of words in this case. If I had only known, I could have done something. Read, breathe, read, breathe, read, breathe. How does that feel? Still bad, but a little bit better. Okay, that's good. On the right track. Change a few more words. If I know now I can do something. Closer, warmer. And I ask her, hey, what do you think one of the biggest reasons that a parent with a child with ADHD wouldn't want to work with you? She's like, oh, that's easy. They don't want to open up a can of worms with a diagnosis of their child. And so they'd rather just ignore it. And I ask her, what does that lead to, Diane? Well, it leads to decades of dopamine-driven decisions, doesn't it? That have led your life every which way. That's what happened to you. And she, in this moment, sees it and understands it and can say with clarity, I know now, and that's why my story is so important. Now we're ready to craft a story. Diane, tell me about a time in your life where you saw somebody in your family experiencing ADHD symptoms. Immediately she knows. I remember seeing my grandson bouncing off the walls in every direction, and my son, the boy's father, shouting at him, trying to calm him down, and they both end up frustrated and exasperated. And she's standing there witnessing this whole thing. And she looks at her grandson and sees in his eyes the same problem that she's been dealing with for decades of dopamine-driven decisions. And she thinks back to her own life and wonders, if my parents had only known, they could have done something. And now this line that was the most disempowered phrase that she opened the call with now became one of the most essential objection overcoming lines and created a new sense of identity and power. This was both an external and an internal process. And we have to do both to get what we really want, at least what people really want when they come to see me. And that is the magic interplay of this inner story work and outer story work that happens.
Yeah. And that happened because that was your personal experience. You crafted a story for someone else, but ended up becoming ultimately empowered around your condition in that space. That's incredible.
True. Absolutely.
That is incredible. Wow.
I think one of the things worth pointing out before we move on to the next question is you've said, oh man, this amazing serendipity has happened for me. And I certainly didn't move forward thinking or knowing these things. And it's taken a lot of practice. And I'm certain people can feel like, wow, I wish my life lined up in this way. And your life has. And a lot of people, we bring a whole lifetime of experience inside and outside of our professional skills. And just like I have looked back and connected the dots in a way that's interesting and compelling, we can do the same for you. And it's not just interesting for your sales or your clients, but it's a source of fuel and power when you can express yourself in this way. It will change how you behave and who you are by how you express yourself.
Absolutely. Well, there's a lot of different methods just within what you've described. I can't remember the exact workshop that I attended, but there was a time in the recent history, maybe in the past 10 years, when I lost a massive account. It was one of my biggest accounts, one of my sort of anchor accounts. And I remember ruminating and, you know, just continuously thinking about this particular account and what I did wrong. And in that space, I didn't have the ability really to create anything outside of that. I was really just looking backwards, sort of almost started to move into a victim space. And I remember going to this workshop and I was told, write down the facts, everything, just as they occurred, write down everything from start to finish. So when I wrote down everything, just sort of noted it down and read it back to myself and read it back to myself again, and then read it to someone else and then read it to multiple people in this workshop. By the end of, I think, maybe a 45 minute to an hour exercise, I had just released attachment. And what was such a massive, thing that was happening, just this thing taking up all this space and bandwidth in my life, ended up turning into a story. And over time, and I mean that short amount of time, it no longer had an impact. As a matter of fact, it turned into something that I was able to easily pull when I wanted to talk about something that I had learned around dealing with a particular customer, a particular circumstance. So not only did it empower me around the circumstance itself and allow me to now deal with what's next in that particular circumstance, but it also allowed me to better relate it to myself and to others. So there's just so much with storytelling that is absolutely empowering. And as you said so well, that just the action of going back and being able to understand it in a way that has some elements there that turns it into a well-crafted story allows you to really find power around it. I'm really curious though, and when we talk about storytelling, what is it that invites people to, take an action or like buy from you, right? So, we're doing a lot of talking about storytelling and how it can break through self-limiting beliefs and how circumstances and challenges can be overcome through storytelling, both internally, both, within and without. What is it that, really has people want to take action or buy from you as a result of storytelling.
Absolutely. Before we dive into those specific mechanics, I feel in the way that many of the people I work with that I am experiencing a growth and a transformation. And though I have become very well branded and very well known as the storytelling guy, the storytelling master, I feel limited in a certain way by the focus on this keyword story. And this has been something I've been working on as I'm working on my next book, which originally was called Magnetic Storytelling. And I think that there's something deeper at play here. While storytelling is an important and foundational element of the work I do, this is a style of communication that expands beyond just the stories we tell. There are teachings, there are listenings, and there are certain powerful statements that we want to employ. And we want to be able to listen and understand who we are speaking to in the same way that a chess player can anticipate the moves of their opponent four moves ahead. And when I refer to the opponent, I'm not saying your listener. I am saying the limiting beliefs and obstacles in their mind that have prevented them from taking any action before. And I also want to communicate in the same way that a martial arts master can block a punch without having to think about it. Because one of the biggest things that I see happening that causes a lot of experts to overteach and go into many different directions or have verbal tics like saying, is they don't know where they're going when they're speaking. And this is ways that we can compensate for that and fill things in. And when we understand what to teach, how to teach, what to say, and why to say it on a deep level, it creates an upgraded sense of presence within us that allows us to be more engaged, listen more deeply, and tell stories and communicate in a way that's much more effective. Now, how do we get a sale from our stories and our communication? This is a series of moves. There's not one thing. And one of the biggest mistakes or misconceptions that people have when they begin working with me is they see a signature talk or a presentation as one big piece of content that you have a full script written top to bottom and that it all should serve the same purpose. But when we start to break it down, there's a few questions that we need to answer over time and take this person on a journey. The first is, do you understand me? And the me in this case is your listener, your ideal client. It's not about making them understand you, which is one of the common mistakes people make, and they use our complicated expert language and blast them with all these ideas. But it's more important to listen and know that how they talk about the problems that they're experiencing that we solve, and we talk about it in the language that they would use discussing it with a friend at a coffee shop, or if we're really good, we talk about it in the language that they never use with anybody and are telling themselves, but would never be so bold to admit it to anybody. And we do that within our own stories, which is less confrontational. We use their language in our moments, and all of a sudden they start to feel like we snuck into their room at night and we're reading out of their journal. And when we have them in this, now they're ready to listen to us teach. And when we're teaching them, we don't just want to teach them how to solve a problem. You know, a great example is weight loss. And if I was a keto diet coach and fitness coach, if I just started, well, the keto diet means you don't eat gluten and you've got to do these kind of sit-ups this many times a day in order to lose the weight. And if I'm somebody who's experiencing weight loss, I've probably heard 16 presentations like this and have worked with as many fitness coaches, and it doesn't work for me. And that's because it's my genes, or I don't have any willpower. I'm just a scoundrel and will never be able to do this. But it doesn't matter what it is, and it doesn't matter what's interesting about the keto diet. It's going to go in one ear and out the other if that's how you're trying to teach me. And so instead, we want to address those limiting beliefs. It's not your genes. In fact, you can change how your genes express themselves with this way. And it might not even be what you're eating, but what if you could get amazing results by just changing when you eat? What? When you eat? I've never thought about it this way. And so we start to address the limiting beliefs as we are on stage, as we are communicating, as we are on our sales calls. So they start to open their minds to more possibilities and start to lean in more. And once we have removed the limiting beliefs and emphasize the possibilities, then we can provide them with a clear next step. And by breaking it down into these smaller segments, it makes creating content like this, telling stories, teaching, and being influential much more approachable and easier, even for those that may not feel like they're somebody who should be speaking and sharing their stories. And it should draw in the right clients, but it is a measure of how well you have listened to and understand those ideal clients.
This sounds like a complete shift in the way you relate to yourself and to others. You know what really hit me when you told me about the impact of being able to almost tap into someone's head or be sort of in the room listening to what they're thinking about before they go to sleep at night. And the thing that sort of showed up for me when you mentioned that was this connection that vulnerability brings, and then taking that and turning that into a story that, you know, let's face it, all of us as human beings pretty much go through a very similar experience in life. And being able to touch that in a certain way with some certain key sort of ingredients is something incredibly powerful. So it starts to expand things up a little bit for me. I start to think about, well, how important is this in everything that we do? Like, in other words, how important is this, for example, in how you write and how you know, if you're creating copy, right, for a business, or even how you're relating to your loved ones, you know, your partner, and all of that. You know, crafting that story and engaging it just like emotionally connecting seems to be really so important. So you just kind of broke down a couple of different really key elements there, right? Can you tell me a little bit about like any particular differentiation from what you're describing to how others might, for example, define what's very, very present in sort of the vernacular now, which is called empathic communication, right? Vulnerability in communication, right? And I've had multiple conversations with leaders in the lounge here, but all the time, about this shift from hierarchy, from sort of top down, or even in relating to others, to really starting to look at things in a more empathic lens. So specifically around storytelling, can you make that differentiation there?
Absolutely. One of the biggest differentiators and distinctions that I think is really important in storytelling or this type of communication is that most people, when they think storytelling, they think I'm talking about me, myself, and my things. And oftentimes, no matter who is on the other end of that listening, whether it's our partner at home, whether it's our team members, or whether it's our prospective clients, the biggest mistake you can make is to think about, well, here's what I'm going to say next, and here's all of the things that I'm going to teach. And truly, storytelling is a form of deep, powerful listening. And we must listen first. We must listen for the words that they are using to describe their situation. We must listen and ask the right questions to understand what are the limiting beliefs facing them right now, or what, how do they see the situation? It doesn't matter what we have to say if we aren't listening to the other person. And by going through this process of understanding the different frameworks of how do we tell a story about ourselves, how do we teach to overcome beliefs, the magical thing that happens is when we understand what a story needs and why we tell it, we start to listen to our people to find those ingredients, to know which thing we need to say next, which transforms us from always being in our own heads and our own story and just waiting for our turn to talk, to actually engaging with this person on a different level and listening. And that is one of the biggest distinctions, whether, again, from the top down, and I think that this is something that's incredibly important and transformative for leaders in front of many organizations, especially right now in this world where I feel that the job market and the talent market is as fluid and fast changing, and I learned this from you in our discussions, as the market for our clients are. And so we need to understand that. And I think most of the time what the leaders that I have worked with want when it comes from the teams they lead is to really feel supported and feel that they don't have to come in and superhero all the time everywhere and fix all of the problems and work the 80-hour weeks to get things and keep things in motion, but to really be able to be confident in their teams. And this starts with listening to them and listening to their ideas and giving them space to do that, and transforming what we say and why we say it based on what we learned from them. And I think the biggest thing holding us back, and this is the thing that we're all too scared to admit, the good news and the bad news is we all have just about the same thing. And the secret that we all have, I have it for sure, is that we're all terrified that we're just an average person. And if somebody finds this out, all of the people that we love and all of the people that we work for us and all the people that we pay us money are going to abandon us. And so we have to overcompensate by showing off our expertise and by having an iron grip on everything that we are doing in order to make sure that nobody has any inclination, any opportunity to think anything like this. And this is how we end up burning out our team members, burning out ourselves, exhausting ourselves, pushing away our partners, and pushing away our ideal clients.
Yeah, it's a rigidity we have, right? We have to know it all. We have to have control over things, right? And in that control, we lose the humanity that makes us so special. There's something special about true vulnerability, not knowing all the answers and just being curious. And when you think about listening, immediately what comes to mind is being curious, learning a little bit more about, hey, what's this person about? What's this person's story? How can we learn a little bit more about this person? Fascinating. You know, the other topic I want to quickly cover, because I know we only have a few minutes today, is digital content. Now, we're in a digital world. We're in video. We're in all sorts of different ways that people are now bringing awareness to what they're up to in the world through these digital platforms. And when you craft a story, specifically a compelling and an engaging story, it immediately comes to mind that, you know, people will use these, you know, people can use these tools to be able to enhance themselves and bring awareness to what they're up to. Just tell me briefly a little bit about how being able to build this muscle can also translate to the digital world.
Absolutely. The core ideas are present, whether we have 3 days to communicate with somebody or 3 seconds. And depending on how much time we have in the platform in the moment, we emphasize what we will say. And a lot of the times, the most flexible part is the middle in where we teach and what we teach. If we have only a few minutes, then we want to really, most of the time, land in the early stages of communicating emotively, of engaging with them in that way. We don't want to have a lot of teaching. We just want to show, I understand you, as best and efficiently as we can. So this is really good for the TikToks and the Instagram reels and the short form types of content. As we start to expand to 10 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, we allow ourselves more breathing room for teaching and speaking. And then as we move through to bigger workshops that are multi-day workshops, people want to get good content and teaching and ideas, and sharing our own personal stories the whole time will not land perfectly if we do it in the same proportion that we would in the 10-minute video. And so understanding this, and this varies as much from platform to platform as it does audience to audience. The CEO of a company is going to want, you know, less story and more perspective shifting and information. But a transformative retreat leader is going to want more story and more of the feels and less of the teaching. Although everybody wants all of the things. And so it's a mix of understanding who we're speaking to and how well we have listened to them leading up to creating the content, and how much time do we have to communicate with them. But the good news is that these things that we've learned, and that's why I like to work in a 45-minute signature talk. I consider this the white belt that you begin to start to use these practices and go out into the world and start practicing these movements. And as you start to do that, you upgrade yourself and your communication in many of these different platforms and frameworks. And so they can all be applied in many different, even in written content and written forms. And there's nuances and things that we would emphasize in each. But the fundamentals of showing the person that's listening to us that we understand their problems, shifting their beliefs and opening up possibilities, and providing a clear next step with minimal blockages in their mind is eternally useful.
Stepping into the dojo of magnetic communication with Kyle Gray. Incredible work. Those of you listening, if you feel like you've gone through a session in the martial arts studio of communication, no longer storytelling. Kyle is shifting this year.
Thank you.
And he's going to expand beyond storytelling. And it sounds like there's incredible things to come. Share with me this year, if you could, Kyle. What are your achievements for this year? What do you hope to accomplish this year?
Thank you, Alex. And I'll use this as my conclusion, as I have a compelling interview that I must now facilitate at the top of this hour. Mm-hmm. I as well as redefining myself, I want to do it through publishing my next book, which we will figure out what the title is, and further emphasizing the deeper process that happens, the medicine that comes within the upgraded clarity that works with. I feel that through the process of many different entrepreneurial, professional, and medicinal experiences recently, that there is something much bigger that my life is adding up to. And it is my time to step into that and to give myself the same medicine that I give, the same curiosity to those that I work with, and giving myself that same space to create from. And this brings it back to the why I believe I have a thyroid condition to learn from, is that helping my own expression, my beliefs, my needs, my quirks, and sharing those more fully and completely and bravely is the way forward in my own life.
Incredible. Thank you, Kyle, story strategist, presentation coach, musician. Please check out Kyle at thestoryengine.co. Fascinating. I know that listening to Kyle is like getting a workout in the dojo of magnetic communication. Kyle, thank you so much for your time today. Incredible work that you're up to. Can't wait to see your new book in 2024. Excited to work with you more. And again, for those of you listening, storytelling is such an important part of connection, communication, enrollment, all of that. Please check out Kyle's website, thestoryengine.co. He's authored multiple books. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Kyle. And I will so be following what you're up to. Thank you.